Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
All right, guys, me and Gina are back podcasting. I love that I said that. It sounded like we quit.
It did sound like we quit. Maybe no, we should.
We've thought about it. We're back on the podcast. We've got guests. We've talked to you guys about the fact that we are going to have these guests on. We have John Foss and Russ Kendall, and they are the magic behind the movie. What is the first word of stronger?
Strong enough.
Strong enough. Wow. Hey guys, I'm the executive producer. Wow. Okay. What I was just telling them is I just rolled in from the ranch. So if I look as scattered as my brain is, clearly, I have a pretty good reason for it. We've got John and Russ, and they're here to talk about the film that they've created, wrote, produced. And I had the opportunity to work on it with them a little bit. And it was the first time I got to do anything like that. And it was, you know, what's funny about it is I'm the executive producer. And when I learned that that is what like an executive producer does, like some of the stuff that I help them with, I had no idea that, you know, you guys, I was born to executive produce.
I know. And you did so great. Yeah. I'll tell you, like right out of the gate, when we were coming up with this concept and this idea, it was Russ and I talked about bringing on someone who knew this world, this cross-training world, who could speak to it with some authority, with some experience, because all we had was this idea and a script. And Russ and I, our relationship with CrossFit, with that whole cross training world, is complicated, right? You know, we haven't been doing it that long or much at all. So there was a lot of nuance that we didn't quite understand about that space and about that world and what it would be like for a female athlete, you know, who's in this case, the character in our movie is she's an amateur athlete. She wants to go pro. So we kind of just wanted we wanted somebody that, again, I could speak to it from authority and experience and could advise us and give us some direction. And Brooke, you were always like right up there. And we thought, man, that would be one day, you know, one day if we could, that would be amazing. And that one day happened. You know? Yeah,
John, didn't you message me on Instagram, right?
I did. Yeah, I messaged you on Instagram. I also emailed you.
Yeah.
I did like a scattershot of communication, just fingers crossed. And by some miracle, you responded. I've always been so curious, like what was your first reaction when you saw it, if you can remember? Because that was what over.
Well, I wanted to say that I thought I saw the IG message first, but I may have seen the email.
I was going to say, you probably wouldn't have seen that. You get so many of those. I mean, she gets so many that like people will DM me and be like, I don't know if Brooke got this, but because I don't have any messages ever.
That's funny. Liar. I'll send you one right now.
Yeah. Send me one. Yeah. Thanks.
You get to be the messenger.
Yeah, cool.
But when I saw the email, or you know, we'll go with email. My first reaction was, yeah, I'd love to help.
Yeah.
That was pretty much it. You know, will you give just like, I have talked about it a little bit on the podcast, but just give a brief description of the movie and then share with everybody kind of how that even came to be, like that you wanted to maybe create a story or write a story that fell into the, you know, category of sport and more than that, like from a female perspective. And especially those of you that are listening, that if you aren't aware, but it's wrapped around, or it's very, it's about functional fitness competition, and it's complicated, you know, and anyone in a high level sport, whatever it is that you're doing, male or female, there's just such a level of outside the dedication and motivation and constant training and consistency. You're a little crazy, you know, to keep doing it.
It's right. Yeah. And I remember when I first learned about this cross training world years ago, I was so fascinated by it. I was so impressed by it, by the people who did, especially the women. And because I just had never seen anything like that. Some people who were just so well-rounded athletically. And I thought, that's a fascinating world. That world has got to be full of stories. And I just wrote down this little blurb in my black book of ideas, like, okay, there's a cross-training athlete. She goes to the gym to manage her stress or something like that. And then it wasn't until, you know, the end of 2020 that this idea circled back to me, and I talked to Russ about it, and we're like, yeah, let's pursue this. So I just jumped right in to write it. And it really is like what you were talking about. The story is about this amateur cross-training athlete. She's the strongest she's ever been. Like, she's had a very difficult, rough last year. When we enter the story, her father's passed away. She's going through some difficult things in her relationship with her husband. But to kind of deal with all of that, she's really dedicated herself to the sport with the goal of wanting to become pro and grow in her sport. And so on this particular day, the film takes place in one afternoon in one location in this gym, right? So we jump into the story there, and she's out to set some world records. She and her coach have set up this mock competition to break some world records. And they've called in the World Record Federation to kind of certify it, but the coach has lined up some sponsors on the line. So she's looking at like performing at a very high level. And this is something she's been prepared for a very long time, right? For this last year, but something happens right before she goes into the world record event, and it just devastates her. It has something to do with her relationship with her husband. And all of a sudden it becomes more about, you know, the question is not, is she strong enough to do these world records? It's, is she strong enough to endure and to handle all of these things as she's literally working out the problems in her life? So that's what it is. I love the tension there of seeing someone. And this is one of the things that drew me to that world. I just love seeing this character who's just so physically fierce and strong, but also so emotionally and mentally vulnerable. And that is so relatable, you know, to all of us, I think. And Brooke, we took the film to the CrossFit Games this year, and we had just a small little screening. And I remember something Brooke said afterwards, that, you know, like, everybody can see themselves in this story, you know, whatever they're dealing with in their lives. It's not, you don't have to be a cross training athlete to necessarily enjoy the story. You're going to see the struggle and relate to it. That's kind of the summary at a high level. Russ, I don't know, what would you add to that?
Yeah, well, one thing, it was from a storytelling standpoint, it was fun to try and take a story and just do a snapshot of this individual's life. We don't know a lot of the pre-story or her backstory, but just this one afternoon. And, you know, it had a production applicability as well. We're in the height of, you know, COVID and restrictions and all that stuff. And filmmaking was hard. Everything's, you know, kind of difficult. And so the logistic challenge of, okay, let's tell this story in one location, one afternoon, keep it entertaining, keep the engagement through the storytelling, even though we're not changing locations and it is one place, and see, you know, if we can do it. So it was a fun challenge from a storytelling standpoint, as well as from a production standpoint, to just kind of take, all right, here's the lemons of, you know, a pandemic. Let's still make a movie and let's do it, you know, with this, some parameters, but that also opens up, you know, a lot of, you know, creative growth and a lot of opportunities when you're kind of, you know, forced into some challenging situations. So
yeah,
it was fun.
Really.
Yeah.
How did the two of you get into filmmaking?
Great question. Oh, it's kind of like all I've ever done.
Yeah.
I was the kid in the neighborhood with the camera, just running around filming everything. I think I more seriously got into the industry over a decade ago. I studied film in college and ended up in New York studying film again and working there, and then came out here and created partnerships with Russ. It's kind of the high level thinking of it. What's that?
I was going to say, where are you from Utah originally?
Originally from Colorado.
Okay.
Yeah. I was born in Utah, but then I later moved to Colorado, Denver area. And I went to Colorado Film School there, came to the University of Utah, and then later went to Columbia University in New York for a film degree there. Yeah.
Impressive.
That is impressive.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Russ, how about you?
Yeah, I too was born in Utah, but grew up in Miami and then Indiana and then primarily in Las Vegas. So, but yeah, I got started in summer of 93 in LA on an NBC sitcom, and did a year on that show and decided, okay, I dig this world. I'm sticking with it. And ended up in Utah, you know, working on a variety of things, movies of the week, features, commercials, music videos, and, you know, 20 plus years later, here doing it. So
very
it's been
cool.
A good, it's a good road.
Do you mind if I ask what sitcom?
It was called The John Larroquette Show.
Oh, I feel like I remember that.
If you ever saw the show Night Court. Larroquette.
Yes.
Night Court. He was the real sleazy DA.
Yes. Yes.
So Emmy award winning. So he did so well on, you know, Night Court. He got his own show. He ran for four seasons.
I do remember that. Yes. That's exactly. Yes.
So it was fun.
Very
it
cool.
Was, I was very green in the industry and just, you know, kept my eyes open, worked hard, and, you know, just made my way and decided I dig this. So
do you guys primarily do, like film festival, indie films, or you kind of do is it kind of like a mixed bag, or has it ever changed? You started in like Hollywood, like you were in LA, Russ, and then you maybe gravitated towards more like smaller films, film festivals, indie films and things like that.
Sure. I did say definitely a mixed bag. Our company is called Kaleidoscope Pictures, and we do feature films. We do television series, we do documentaries. We also have a client arm. We do things with Adobe and Ancestry.com. So at the heart of all of it, though, is we really try and find stories that are relatable, that tap into the commonalities we all share. And often that, you know, triumph over adversity and finding that wherewithal within us, or, you know, connecting to the divine or whatever that is that gets you through to a, you know, hopefully a better place personally or in a relationship or what have you. And so we resonate with those type of stories, these personal journeys. And so whether it's in a doc, whether it's in a feature film, we look for those things.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. It's a mixed bag for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's fun. I mean, being storytellers, you get to kind of, you know, be in a lot of different worlds and work with so many just fascinating people. Sometimes you pinch yourself and you're like, man, this is cool.
Yeah.
How do we get here? You know.
I think that all the time. How do I get here?
Man, how did I get here?
I gotta pinch myself.
What am I doing here?
There is a bit of that in film, though. There is a bit.
I gotta get out of this fucking nightmare. Jesus, pinch me. I was gonna.
Right. It happens.
It looks like a pretty good nightmare over there.
Yeah, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. I'm just kidding.
Mild weather.
It's boiling hot right now. Yes. Yeah. I know. Yeah, it's not as bad as I'm joking.
Where are you at, Jenna?
Where are you at? Oh, I'm in Santa Cruz County, California.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we have been having a heat streak. So we're used to like having more mild weather over here. But Brooke and I were just in Bali. And while we were gone, my daughter was taking care of all my plants and everything. And I came back, she had texted me and she was like, oh my God, it's 110 here. Wow. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I came home and I had left a plastic, like a Starbucks cup in my cup holder. It was completely melted.
Serious?
Yeah. I was like, holy crap. Like it could have like started a fire or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. The next CZU fire is going to come from my car or something.
Yeah, from your Starbucks cup.
Yeah. Leaving my Starbucks cup in there. Yeah. Right. Anyway.
Cool. What was it like? Really, because Gina and myself, we've never
I know
made,
nothing about this. That's why I'm just
never made a film.
Yeah, all the questions.
We've never made a film. So for the two of you, I guess to help me learn too, when it obviously started with a script that you started writing, John, and went out from there. So how do you guys go about casting?
It's a great question because from the beginning, it was, we always wanted a real athlete in this role. You know, we talked about it, you know, it with Russ and our other partners, other producers as well. We talked about, should we go to LA and get a real actress, like someone who's been trained and as an actor and has, you know, a lot of experience in that world. And we did some due diligence, you know, we sent out a casting notice in LA and we had over 1700 submissions for the role. But the thing about this movie that makes it so unique is that what we're asking this actor, what we're seeing this character do is really kind of unprecedented. Like I mentioned before, the character, she's out to break and set some world records. And we base those world records on real Guinness World Records that were set in 2017. And so the way that we wanted to approach filming it was that we didn't want to rely on editing. We didn't want to rely on coverage, shot, you know, just to sell that she's doing these movements. We actually wanted to see this person do the movements. I think, you know, we're so used to that, seeing it in action sequences and dance sequences when people are singing long one takes, and it's actually really captivating. And we wanted to really pay tribute to the sport and to the body and like what someone can actually do. So we wanted to see this person on camera really attempt to break these records. And so that's what you're seeing in the film in real time, this character trying to do this, but also in real life. And that made the casting really kind of challenging because out of those 1700 submissions, you know, we called back 40 that looked fit. And maybe out of the 40, there was one that could, you know, probably do a couple pull-ups, you know? But it just wasn't what we needed. And the other thing, you can't fake that kind of body, right? That these athletes, you know, create in the sport. It takes years, you know? And so we just really wanted that authenticity. And so the other thing that we did was we looked at, the CrossFit Open. They post the results every year of everybody throughout around the world that are, you know, trying to advance, you know, through the Open. They post all their results online. And because of COVID, we couldn't consider anybody out of the United States. You know, we wanted to make it easy. So we looked at the top 500 women who were American, and we went through every single profile. We looked at, had everything from like their picture to their online presence, their social media profile. Like, do they present themselves well on camera? What's their following like? Like, yeah, all these things, all these factors. And we had reached out to a few dozen, probably very recognizable names within the sport, of course. But then also to some people who no one's ever heard about or of. And we did a couple screen tests. Some responded. We spoke with some agents and some managers, in fact, and we had a couple screen tests with a few, you know, athletes, known athletes and lesser known athletes. And we narrowed it down to this one athlete out of Ohio. Her name is Ashley Giroux. She just presented everything, checked a lot of boxes for us in our initial kind of, I guess, pass, you know. She was really great. So we brought her out to screen test her against some of our other actors. And she'd never acted before, right?
I was going to ask
Yeah. No acting experience at all. She works full time as a computer engineer, right?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Russ? In IT. Yeah.
In IT. Yeah. Full time in IT, General Electric or aviation. And she's just fantastic. And she took direction really well. That's the other thing. Like when you're working with someone who doesn't have an acting experience or background, you want to know that they're responsive to the director and that they're willing to like bring themselves and, you know, because it's a very emotional and also vulnerable process. So we just needed someone who was willing to kind of open themselves up to that. And she was doing it. And to our satisfaction, we just felt like she was the one. And so we ended up casting Ashley Giroux in the main title of main role of Sam. But it was a process. I mean, I remember Russ and I were like, who are we going to cast? How is this going to happen?
I would imagine, just from the experience that I've had, like being with Brooke when they were like, when she was filming the Amazon scenes and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Like uh-huh. The Amazons don't look like Amazons. Like, right. You know, yeah. Like all the girls, they were like in this like training, they were like these teeny tiny little, you know, they were actresses. So there were very few that were like actually built strong looking women.
Yeah. Right. I remember, Brooke, you were talking about that in one of our first calls in our development of the screenplay. And we were talking about kind of the physique and you were speaking about that experience about how some of those casting agents came to, you know, those cross-training events and they were scouting essentially mm-hmm. women like you, right?
Yeah, they did. So I got the call before the games and then I did my in-person audition with Christy Carlson and she was a casting director and she ran the department for Warner Brothers. I think right now she's separated and has her own company. She's fantastic. In fact, if you guys ever want me to connect you with her, if you don't know her, she is so wonderful. So I went in the day I checked in for the CrossFit games, I checked in. Like you do like the interview, you have like your gear on and they do like video. And then I got right in the car and drove to Warner Brothers. And I found out, they told me there, but I guess they had some people come to the CrossFit games and kind of scout why they were there. And so it wasn't just me that they ended up getting, I think I may have been the only one that did like an in-person audition, which is just so much better than self-tapes.
Yeah, I know.
It's so hard. I think we talked about that, John. But they had like Sam Briggs auditioned. I think Katrin too. They had a lot of other girls, like, you know, big names or whatever from that year that I'm pretty sure sent in self-tapes or did some sort of audition. And your girl got it. And I said, it's perfect storm because I'm pretty sure I'm the only athlete that grew up in the performing arts. Like that's all I wanted to do. I mean, however, it is very different. I did more musical and I guess like theatrical than, you know, acting for TV or for movie, right. For film. So I came back from filming both of those movies, the Justice League, Wonder Woman prior to the Justice League. And then I was given some advice from who became a really good friend of mine, who is actually the producer of those movies. And he said, Brooke, you know, you just got to work your muscle, like your acting muscle, the same way you like train in the gym. So I got into an acting class and I started doing some more of that. And I have worked since, not a lot, but it is something that like, I thought about that, you know, a lot of people, when I did Wonder Woman, you know, you have all the fans, probably the big majority of them that are also really into fitness and probably followed me mostly through my CrossFit stuff. But they're all like, you should have been Wonder Woman. You should have been Wonder Woman. I was like, yeah, I know. I'm like, here's the caveat, you know? you got to look the part, but you got to be able to act.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so you, I mean, I can only imagine running into that problem for you guys finding someone for this, because it's like, okay, probably not a lot of people are very much into sport or mm-hmm. health and fitness, even just like conventional training. That's also right. in the industry of wanting to act and be in the arts, because, and I say that pretty confidently, because I remember it blew my mind when I showed up to, I was in the UK, and I had no idea. I mean, I grew up always dancing and sports and outdoors, so pretty active lifestyle. I had no idea that there are people that don't care about fitness. Like they don't, that's not an interest at all, you know? And so when I'm out there with all these people, I'm thinking, like, I was the weird one because
yeah, they kept looking at you like, what the hell?
Yeah, like, cause I, you know, when we weren't filming, I was training as much as I could because I was prepping for, I did the open out there. Right. And then I made it to regionals and I got E. coli right before regionals, but, you know, I did the best that I could. So when we weren't filming, I was in the gym, because when we were filming, we started super early in the morning and I'd be in full kit all day.
All right. Yeah.
No. And you wouldn't even do anything. It's like, I really learned, everyone told me when I was there, they're like, yeah, you know, this is called hurry up and wait. And I was like, what?
Yep, exactly.
They're like, yeah, yeah. It's this industry. It's all hurry up and wait. And I'm like, oh shit. I could be doing so much stuff right now.
Oh, that's so funny.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling, because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's, it's funny how we get on set. You know, there's a lot of hurry up, and you're setting things up for the shot. You're trying to get crew mobilized and equipment moved around. And then once it's set, then you wait. You got to wait for light. You got to wait for performers. You got to wait for makeup. It's just, it's a thing. It's really funny. Luckily, that wasn't our problem too much on our set, because we had a very tight time constraint. You know, because the whole movie takes place in one afternoon, we have to make, and we're shooting this film over a couple of weeks.
I was going to ask that.
We have to make sure that looks consistent, right? Yeah.
And we're, and the place where we were shooting, the gym that we were shooting in, was a real working practical gym. So we couldn't just buy the location and just use it however, whenever we wanted. We had to wait until their morning classes were done. And then we got in at 10 a.m. And then the sun would set, the good light would be gone by like 6:30 p.m. So we had this window of time, you know, to just shoot the movie. And we had to move. We were shooting, I don't know, Russ, how many, 7-9 pages a day?
Yeah, we were, yeah, it was a 10-day shoot. And so yeah, we had to be moved very efficiently. And one thing we did is we pre-lit the location so that, you know, as you've experienced, Brooke, there could be a lot of moving lights and, you know, transition time can just kill you. So that helped things be very mobile.
But, yeah, it was all in the planning, right? Because we pre-lit everything. We changed the bulbs in the gym so that we knew that everything was already pre-lit. And our camera setups, we went into it with kind of a documentary style, you know, approach, right? Handheld. And that made it efficient for us to just block out the scenes with camera and then just roll right into it. So we were able to move pretty quickly on that front. And I think that was to the actor's advantage too, Ashley and a couple others, that we were able to shoot the film in sequence, essentially. That doesn't ever really happen in movies because schedule, when you have your movie and you schedule your movie out, you're sometimes shooting the last scene first or the middle scene with the last scene. You're just, everything's all shaken around because you're dealing with locations, weather, actor schedules, a whole bunch of variables, right? But because we had this location, because the story happened in one day and it was really, the story was really self-contained, we felt like we really could schedule it pretty much in order. And I think that was really helpful, again, for Ashley as she was diving in first time, you know, really kind of taking on the character and learning, you know, growing in the character and in the story as we filmed. That was really cool. But yeah, filming is just, what you were saying earlier, Brooke, about, you know, athletes having a performance background in this space. I mean, if you want to be an athlete and you're spending so much time in that world, like, how would you be able to get out and go do, you know, other things, other endeavors? Cause you're spending and dedicating so much of your time there, you know, to be the best.
Yep.
Yeah.
Gina, you want to, we could, maybe that we could pitch him your story about you. We could.
Rags to riches, back interested. To rags, or I don't know, like, she lost it all.
Rags to riches to rags.
Yeah, about my sad divorce. Yeah. Like what? Like what's so interesting?
You know, I was just thinking like a one time, like one shot, you know.
Oh, like me gym. Doing something athletic?
You in the gym, yeah.
That would be hilarious. Oh my God. Yeah, you don't want to see that.
That's funny. Yeah. Man, I might.
Love it.
All right. So we did the premiere, like the, or the sneak, like this, what did we call
sneak
it?
Sneak preview. Yeah. It was a screening. Yeah.
Yes. And we were kind of, you were waiting for what was the next steps, and take me through it and where we are today.
Right. So,
and even just the process of what do you do? You know, it's like you write the story, you get it filmed, you go through all these hoops, you figure it out. And then now you have a finished product. Where do we go from here?
Yeah. Russ, you want to take this one?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, no, that is the key question, is what now? I mean, because if you create something, if you can't get it out there, what does it matter? And so the next step after, you know, we did that screening, the film was completed, is finding a distributor and finding the right distributor. You know, there's a lot of them out that will say, yeah, we'll get your, you know, we'll take your movie on, but finding one that gets the story, understands the market, understands the need and the niche for, you know, this particular type of film as well. And so we brought on, it's called the producer's rep. He helped us connect with the right type of distributors, vetted a number of them, took some offers from a handful of distributors, and landed on one called Gravitas Ventures. Mm-hmm. And what's really cool is they have, partnered with CrossFit to put out all of CrossFit's documentaries. And so with our film, that's, you know, cross training, kind of in that similar, you know, athletic space, they understand this market and they understand how to, you know, get these type of films out there. And they were particularly excited about this one because it's a narrative. You know, the previous films in this space have been documentary that they've distributed. So they love that it's a female lead, love that it's a narrative story, kind of a first of its kind in many ways. And so we've partnered with them, and we have a release date of December 27th that it'll be available on all your, not streaming, but the transactional, you know, like iTunes and, you know, for purchase. And so about a month early, end of November, it'll be available for pre-sale, and you should start seeing ads for it. And, you know, we'll do some pretty big campaigns to try and get word out there. And but the 27th of December, which we initially thought, well, that's kind of an odd date, but we're all like focused even more so on fitness come January 1, right? So
that's so true.
Yeah. So yeah. Really try and, you know, tap into that psyche and that, you know, really have it just go gangbusters and, you know, Wattpalooza, you know, taking place in Miami shortly after. So a lot of things converging that might make it a great release time.
Well, I'm super excited.
What did you add? Anything there? So.
That's everything about the, about that release. It's funny because the distributor Gravitas, they were saying that sports films tend to do very well around the new year, because for that point, people are setting fitness goals and they want to be motivated and, you know, and it's like, great, we've got.
Yeah. Don't get them in like March. That's when they've dropped off.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, they're like,
late January.
I did like a 3-month membership. I'm over it now.
Yeah, they completely stop searching anything that has to do with fitness. So they just will never see the ads. Like December, you know,
everyone's like always doing like a 1-month challenge or, you know, like the no drinking for January or I don't know, all that nonsense. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
You know, all that nonsense.
Yeah.
Well, we've got some fun like marketing things in play right now that we're exploring. I mean, one of them that could play into that is that, you know, we've spoken to Ashley about creating a workout called the SAM, kind of based on her character and what the kind of physical exercises, movements that her character tries to do. Like, yeah, that could be really rad.
It's like a world breaking record workout.
Exactly. Everybody's
like, tragedy. I'm not ready for this. Yeah, yeah. You know, can't do the SAM.
Not the SAM.
Not the SAM. My God.
That's really funny. Rad.
No, that'd be very cool. What was the response at the games?
It was great. You know, it's funny because so many people, when we were meeting with them and talking with them at the games, their first reaction was, it's a documentary. And we're like, no.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, in this world, that's in that space, that's what people are used to seeing, right? You know, stories that are documentary or short docs, you know. And when they learned that it was a narrative film and they learned about the story, there was a lot of great interest. A lot of people engaged with the movie.
I feel like that's kind of a compliment to her too. I mean, they thought it was a documentary. Mm. I mean, seemed pretty real the way, you know, her reactions and, you know, all of that. So
that was the other thing about it is that, I mean, we had a booth there and we had a television that was just playing trailer and also stills from the film. And we had a giant, you know, poster of the movie. And so, upon first glance, you might look at it and be like, oh, well, documentary. But the more that we talked to, the more that we shared about the story with people, you know, the more that they engaged with. And the more interest that we had from people, like the trailer, once we released the trailer in a week, we had tens of thousands of views just organically, right? And that just is, that's great. That just shows that there's a lot of interest in this kind of story in this space, you know? So that made us really excited.
Yeah, it's very cool. Then you're like, oh, now we're gonna have to do a sequel.
People have asked that actually. They get to the end and like, what happens?
I know, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah. I know. You might have to. Who knows? Yeah.
Well, and that's the other thing. We were talking with I was having a conversation with the director of one of the CrossFit movies and you know, telling her about it. And we were just kind of just exploring the space. And that's something she was so excited about because she is there all the time. In the middle of these real athletes who are doing so difficult things, but each one of these athletes
have their own stories, have their own struggles. And so she's seen firsthand, you know, the stories, just how vast this story, this universe is of stories, right, in the space. And what we've done here with this film, you know, it's just a small part, you know, like Russ was saying, it's just a moment. It's just a glimpse of this athlete's life, you know, in this story. And it's going to make you afterwards want more, I think, of from this character, want more from this world, the sports world. And I think curiosity will be piqued for people who have never even considered this kind of training or sport. I think it'll generate a lot of interest, you know. But again, it's like, it's not really about that sport. It's not about cross training sport. I mean, it's about this female athlete and that happens to be within this world, this sports world. But I do think it'll generate a lot of interest and curiosity and motivate people. You know, we just shared the movie with someone that we're exploring a marketing deal with, and afterwards he just had so many great things to say about it, because he goes to the gym maybe every now and then, but he was like, I am just so motivated. He's like, I want that coach to be in my life every day, because that coach is so motivating.
That was awesome.
Like, yeah, man.
Was the coach a real coach?
No,
he was an actor. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you might know him from like Fear the Walking Dead, Rampage.
I used to love that show.
Yeah.
I haven't kept up on it though.
Yeah, the universe has gotten pretty big. I've kind of fallen off the wagon there.
Yeah.
It's just so much. So big.
Yeah, there's only so many zombies you can watch, you know?
I quit The Walking Dead in like season 4.
I think we both did.
I remember turning it on. When was it, Gina, when we were watching in The Sun? We'd turn on the new episode because we watched it as like a group of friends, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And after like the 4th episode or 5th episode, and it was the kids still in the bed.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
He's still in the bed.
Forgotten about that. We're like, man, this is still in the bed.
And then we kept watching it because we were committed. Like,
well, yeah, because we were like, we gotta wait till this kid's out of his bed. Like, dude.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
I loved when the chick. Gosh, it's been so long since I watched it, so I can't remember. I loved when they had the zombies on the like they were like her dogs.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that chick. That was my favorite, but yeah, no, it just starts to get like, you're like, oh, whatever.
It's kind of like, Lost.
Mm-hmm. I never watched that.
No. Okay. It is. You watch that first season.
It's like a commitment,
hooked.
Right?
You're hooked.
You're hooked. Yeah.
How many seasons was it though?
Like 50. No, there was really like
six,
there was
or like seven,
six,
maybe?
Six yeah. or seven. But what it feels like at like season 5, let's say season 4 or 5, is like, do they know what happens next?
Yeah. Yeah. They're just like making it up as they go along.
Like it felt like maybe.
Like, we didn't expect it to go this long.
Yes.
Like, shit. We're going to have to come up with something.
And honestly, John, maybe you could answer this question for me. Or at the end of Lost, wasn't it that they all were actually dead?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. And I'm going to admit, I watched every episode of Lost except for the last 3 episodes.
How could that be?
This day, I still don't know what happened.
What?
I need to get back into it and watch it.
No, you don't.
I think at some point.
No. Yeah, don't do it. So look fatigued. It up. Don't do it.
Yeah. And then I think it was like, cause you know, at that point they were just like airing it weekly. Right. We didn't have streaming available.
Right.
Or like, I didn't have TiVo. Right. So like for whatever happened in my life, I just didn't get to it. And then I heard all these reviews and how disappointed people were.
Yes. I've heard that.
And
too.
I was like, I don't know. Yeah. I think I'll just leave on the high note that
leave with the good taste.
Yes.
Interesting.
But I should go back and see, but I don't know. Russ, do you have an answer to that?
Don't waste any more time on it.
No.
They were dead.
They were dead,
right?
Yeah. Oh, spoiler.
I'll tell you though, I like the ending, and it was, you know, a bit of contention with me and my wife. She's like, that was the stupidest thing ever. And I'm like, it was fulfilling. I liked it. It worked for me. But anyway,
the way they went through all of that and they were just all dead. Like this was like their heaven or something.
Yeah. And not all of them made it.
Oh, interesting.
But there were some reconciliations. There are some things that I think were payoffs. Okay. Obviously not enough for many people. But,
yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. I think that like,
yeah,
I don't think I hated the ending, like the fact that they were all dead so much. I think that it was one difficult to know for sure if they were. And two, just those last couple seasons, you had, there were so many of those episodes, like the in-between episodes. Mm-hmm. Where they're long. I mean, the Lost episodes they were long. Wasn't each episode like an hour?
They're an hour. Yeah.
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 Yeah, that's how they used to
and
do
so
TV.
When it started getting to a point where it felt like, where is this going? You know, you're committed to an hour. No wonder John didn't watch the last three episodes.
That's what I said. Don't waste any more time on it.
But man, Lost, those first few seasons, they're very good.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Remember me and my ex, we would, when we all were getting into watching Lost, it was like, you'd turn one on at night and it's like, oh, one more. Committing an hour and it turns into like 3-4 hours. You're like, oh gosh.
That's how I've been with Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah. I still haven't finished catching up on that.
Oh, it is just so good. It's so good that I'm like, I started at the beginning again. I do it every time they release a season.
Oh, I noticed. Really?
You started from the beginning.
I started from the beginning every single time because I just love it so much.
I just did that with.
It really is. I got a lot of time. There's literally like an imprint on my couch of my ass. It's like, that's where I sit.
Here's the thing though, you guys, to understand about Gina. Gina, it doesn't matter how bad it's rated.
This is true.
This woman will watch it. And especially if it's a horror film, it actually irritates me because we like to watch scary movies when we're together. And just so many times where I'm over and I'm like, all right, we're trying to pick one out. And Gina's over there like, oh, I've seen it. Oh, I've seen it. I've seen it. I've seen it. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
I know. I watch too much television. I know. It's honestly embarrassing to admit to people like how much I watch, but a lot of it's like in the middle of the night because I have insomnia, which is, it's probably like a catch-22. Like I have the insomnia because I won't turn the TV set off. So, you know, it's like one of those things, but yeah.
Well, you've always been like a night owl anyway. So yes.
Yeah. I mean, I do actually leave my house.
She watches all the weird documentaries, you know,
I do.
It's kind of nice because she can keep you from wasting your time.
Give you the cliff notes.
Yeah, yeah. I should just write cliff notes on every single show. Just put them out there.
That wouldn't be a bad idea.
You know what? I'll tell you what. The one of the worst movies I've seen recently is the Crimes of the Future. Or have you heard of that?
No. I haven't.
Either one of you guys?
Crimes of the Future.
We had no idea what we were watching. My sister and my daughter and I went to the movies and we were like, oh, the movie that we thought we were seeing, it wasn't at the same time. So we were like, oh, we'll just go see this movie. We go and see it. We sat down. I mean, it was literally like a what the F moment through the entire movie. Like all of us are just like looking at each other like, what is this? What are we watching? Like, it's like Viggo Mortensen. So it starts out.
This was at I think I know of it. Yeah.
It's weird. Sorry. I mean, interrupt me, please. I interrupt people all the time. No, so it starts out with this guy. This kid is on the beach, right? And he's got like this little I can't remember what he's playing. And it's like the mom looks all stressed out. And I think she tells him, like, don't eat that. And it's like rocks or something. And you're kind of like, I mean, the kid's, you know, looks like he's like 8 years old or something like that. So then later you hear the kid like munching on something and he's eating the plastic garbage can in the bathroom. He's eating the plastic. It's like supposed to be, in the future where we were like sitting around talking about this for like hours after, like, what was that movie about? Yeah. I think it was supposed to be like environmentally conscious, like in the future, for people to like, for entertainment, sex wasn't enough anymore. So then they started doing like performance acts, but like you have these weird people who've sewn ears all over their bodies doing like all these weird dances and stuff. And then like, but they're eating plastic because it's better for the environment because we have such an excess of plastic. I don't know. It was weird. Don't watch it.
Broke your face is great.
Yeah. You know, I'm just thinking this, like, you
know, like what?
Was this funded by Bill Gates or?
I have no idea. I did not know what I was going in and watching. I still am confused by it. They do like surgeries. It's so weird. Viggo Mortensen's for him to eat. He has to sit in a chair that helps him digest and it gurgles. Like when he's sitting in it, it's, I'm telling you.
Sounds like a horrible dream.
It is weird. I feel like now people are going to be like, oh, I want to see it.
Exactly. Great advertising.
Don't watch it.
No, I do remember hearing about it actually, because it went to Cannes. And
it did?
And I heard mixed reviews. I heard that like it had standing ovation after, but I heard that people walked out.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, maybe we're just like stupid or something, but this guy in front of us, I was like, whoa, what'd you think of that? And he was like, I thought it was great.
Stop.
Oh, really?
No, dead serious. Like, thought it was great. And I was just like, this is the weirdest crap I've ever seen in my life. And I've seen a lot of weird crap. Have you seen Tusk? Have you seen Tusk?
No.
Oh, another weird one.
I've got to come to get like the reviews on anything
here. Yeah, dude, Tusk is so weird. I think it's the kid from, no, it's not Harry Potter. It's another guy that looks like that.
Tusk.
He goes and this dude turns him into a walrus.
Amazing.
Like actually pieces together stuff and turns him into a walrus. It's like a horror movie. Stupid.
Or,
Yeah.
Have you seen Fresh? Is it called Fresh?
Oh, I love that movie. That's a great movie.
Mm. Have you guys seen Fresh?
No.
Watch Fresh.
Man,
it's also, all of these are, they're all horror movies. So if you're not into horror, and the only time I really watch horror movies is with Gina, unless it's on, you know, Netflix or Amazon or something like that. But she's got Shudder. So she watches all the really bad ones. Like we've turned it on before and been sitting on the couch and we're like, we don't turn it off. We're like, this is so bad.
It's so bad. Yeah, it's mostly bad on there. But no, Fresh is on Hulu.
Yeah, it was good.
It's really good. It's with that dude from the Pam and Tommy thing.
Oh, right. Oh, Sebastian.
Yes.
Yeah,
anyway, watch it if you like that kind of stuff.
Gina, you're our resident movie watcher. We're gonna come to you for reviews on everything.
No problem. The problem is that I have such a bad memory. I'll remember if it's bad or good, but I won't necessarily remember why.
Why? Right. The Gina rating scale.
Good
or bad.
I know. That's what people are like, because I've been reading so much and everyone's like, well, you should do like book reviews. I go, I couldn't. I mean, I literally would be, I'd either, you know, not remember what the book was about, or I just screw up or like ruin it by telling people the ending. So
yeah, right.
Yeah. It's not in the car.
Accidentally.
Yeah.
Right. That's the other thing. When we list this podcast, it should be like spoiler alert.
Yes.
Shows.
I know.
It just said what happened at the end of Lost.
Right. I did. Oh my God. I spoiled something. This was so bad the other day. I was talking to a friend. I don't want to spoil. It was on Vikings. And the way he was talking to this other person was as if he was caught up to us. Cause he was talking about things that we had just seen. Mm-hmm. So, but I didn't realize that he didn't know what he thought he was talking about like a different episode or something. But anyway, so in my brain, I'm like, oh yeah. I go, can you believe so-and-so died? And he was like, are you fucking kidding me?
You're like, just kidding.
And it's like the main character. It's like somebody everybody loves. And I was like,
yeah, right.
I'm, I'm kidding. I was so joking. Ah, yeah, right. That was totally joking.
I gotta go.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt really bad. Anyway.
Well, do you guys have anything in, what do you, besides this? And I can't even imagine.
Yeah, where people can see the preview or something.
Yes. So.
Oh, sorry. I interrupted you.
You did. And that's not what I was going to say. However, I would love for you guys to, you know, announce all those things where they can see it and all the reminders and where they can find you. But I guess I want to say what's next, or, you know, what's something that you guys are working on besides, you know, this big project of getting this out and the marketing and all this stuff that's coming up. Cause obviously time is going by just so much faster than it used to, I feel like, and it's going to be December 27th before we know.
Right.
But is there something else that you guys are dabbling in, or, you know, scripts you've been reading through, or things you're throwing around, or?
Yeah. Yeah. We're constantly in like different phases of productions, right? I mean, one that's most exciting right now is that we're developing, we have been and are developing a TV series. It's a 4-part limited series called Truth and Conviction. And we're going to be going a bit more live and broad with that series. We're going to be setting up some, marketing and with the film in October. But it's a true story about a young resistance fighter during World War II. So we've got that underway and hoping to shoot that next year in Lithuania, where we've shot two other movies before. So we're hoping and looking forward to going back. We've got other films. I don't know, Russ, would you say anything else about Truth and Conviction?
No, we'll come back on the podcast. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. Yes.
We do have another film that's nearing completion. It's finishing up visual effects. It's a sci-fi comedy, kind of in the vein of E.T. And it's called Aliens Abducted My Parents and Now I'm Feeling Kind of Left Out. And, isn't that great?
I like that.
And yeah, stars Will Forte. Oh, here, we'll tie this back to Lost. Elizabeth Mitchell, who's in Lost, is has a role in this film, opposite of Will Forte as husband and wife. So that'll be coming out early next year as well. So yeah we're excited about
fun.
That.
Well, yeah. When you're ready to, you know, talk about that, we'll come back on.
Let's do it.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Love
it.
Absolutely.
Love it.
Absolutely.
All right. So Russ or John, do you want to just reiterate dates where they can find the information on the movie, where they can find you guys, Kaleidoscope? So anyone listening that wants to pay attention to what you have coming up next or coming out next, or maybe even what they can see, you know, where they can find some of your films that you've produced in the past and things like that.
Yeah. Awesome. Speaking specifically about Strong Enough, you know, we're on Instagram. You can follow us at Strong Enough the Movie. We'll post all the updates there about when the pre-sales will go live and any other cool things that we're doing with the film. You can even visit the website, strongenoughmovie.com, and see the trailer. We've got a 60-second trailer up there. We're actually in the process of updating it a little bit. So we're going to have a new trailer that will drop within the next couple of weeks. But that's where you can find the movie there. Throw it to Russ to talk about Kaleidoscope.
Yeah, Instagram's probably a great place. It's Kaleidoscope Pictures Inc. With an underscore between Kaleidoscope and Pictures. Follow us there, or kaleidoscopepictures.com. Just hit our website and it has past and current projects listed and where you can find them. Truth and Conviction, what is this? Truth and Conviction TV series is our Instagram handle for this resistance fighter piece that we're working on. Highly encourage people to come check that out. It's a phenomenal true story of this young man in Nazi Germany. He was 16 years old and he saw through Hitler's lies and decided he had to act upon it and do something. And so he began typing up flyers that denounced Hitler and basically committing treason. And he got two of his buddies. So these teenagers are going and taking these seditious flyers and putting them all around Hamburg and eluding the Gestapo for almost a year and eventually stood trial for their actions. And I don't want to spoiler alert it, but you know, the leader of this group paid the ultimate price. So pretty important and timely film. about, you know, standing up and finding truth and doing something about it. And so check it out. It's called Truth and Conviction.
Sounds like it's right up my alley.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's adding it to the list.
Yeah. Sounds like it should be right up everyone's alley.
Everyone's alley.
Yes.
This day and age and all the shit that we got going on.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you guys so much for taking the time to come on here. We're going to, me and Gina will make sure we keep people updated on here when, when it's coming out.
Yeah, we will.
Well, also, Brooke, we just want to give you a shout out because, you know, your involvement in this film has been so, so tremendously helpful to us and the film at large. And we're just so grateful that you responded to that random email and DM originally. We had a lot of great conversations in the development of the film, and your insight, your consultation, your involvement in the production and even post of the film has been really rewarding. So we're glad to have you part of the team. Thank you for being a part of it.
Oh, well, pleasure is mine. You two are, man, you are fantastic humans. And I've really loved working with you. And it's very exciting what you're doing. And I'm so pleasantly surprised because obviously in the beginning, I didn't quite know what I was doing, right? I didn't know like how much I was really helping. And so being able to get together with you, not only like watch the film prior to being at the CrossFit Games for that day, but I've got to see something come together that I was actually, I aided in and that I helped come to fruition without me really realizing how much help I was really doing. And so that was a pretty cool experience and moment for me just for, I guess, just the awareness of possibilities that we have, you know, when we one respond to emails from people we don't know, but you get a good feeling about it, you know? So thank you so much. Yeah. I really appreciate you guys. And I hope I see you, you know, relatively soon.
Excellent. And if you guys need like an executive producer for like, say, you know, a story about a mom that's like washed up and like, you know, has four kids, you know, just trying to get through life, who stays up all night watching TV. I am your girl.
Gina is amazing.
It's going to be a smash hit.
It's going to be called Rags to Riches to Rags.
I love it.
That is
okay. Cool. It was so nice meeting you guys. Thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Anything else? Is there anything else that you guys wanted to just talk about or share before we sign off? And Gina goes back to work.
Oh, yeah. I got to go back to work.
Yeah. Good luck. No. Everybody go watch the movie. Come enjoy the movie together.
Yeah.
Love that.
Pay attention to the Instagram or the website, and me and Gina will definitely keep you updated. But one more time, it goes pre-sale. What was the date, John?
December 27th.
Pre-sale. We don't know the date yet. It was sometime in November.
Okay.
It's released December 27th.
Perfect. So it's released December 27th. Don't forget, watch with your families right around Christmas time. You got nothing else to do except for get excited about going to the gym. Okay.
Exactly.
So you're going to watch, you're going to buy it, download it, watch it, share it with your friends on December 27th. And in November sometime, me and Gina will let you know that's on pre-sale. And if you are a longtime listener, then you should definitely invest in that because hello, it's my first executive producer job.
We wouldn't steer you wrong,
you know, and we would not steer you wrong.
No, of course not. Absolutely not.
Not with this one.
No.
It's great.
Well,
thank you. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you so much.
All right. This was fun.
Yeah. Thank you so much. See you guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Okay, guys. Very cool.
Aren't they so great?
So great.
Man.
So great.
Good people.
Yeah. You know, met a lot of really cool people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just add that to the list.
Yep.
No, I'm excited to watch this. I'm going to go on and like check out the preview.
Yeah. I think, you know, even like the first time I watched it, any of you listening and obviously including Gina, but any of you listening, I think it's really important to remember kind of what John was talking about with the fact that it was so important for them, which I really love that they went this route and they stuck to it, right? They really stuck to trying to find someone who could check both those boxes of actually being able to really embody that character, because you know, they pretty much do that for extracurricular, but like very competitive. And, you know, it's not an actor or actress just trying to, you know, we don't got body doubles going on, you know?
Right. Yeah.
You have someone who it's her first time.
Who can physically do these things that you're watching.
First time acting, first time looking at a script, first time, you know, and it's not like, it's not this easy thing to do, like what John said, because it really is a story and a script that it's very vulnerable. And this girl is going through turmoil. I mean, and I know for a fact, every single person can relate to that, you know, where the walls are coming in and, you know, she's coming into this scene and this competition with, you know, the grief of her father passing away, and he was her biggest supporter. And so then you have that, you know, and everyone has experienced loss and just very emotional, hard stuff. Like maybe not even super emotional all the time or sad all the time, but just stress of needing to show up, be prepared, be enough, do your job and come out on top. I mean, it's tough and it's hard and everyone can relate to it. So when you do watch it, cause I know all of you guys are going to watch it. Remember that this girl, you know, not only is it impressive by what she's doing, what you're watching her do, because she is actually doing these workouts. She also has stepped up to the plate to put herself out there and act, you know, and that's
very cool.
Very scary.
Yeah, I was gonna say very vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening today. Don't forget to
rate, review, subscribe, 5-star rating.
5-star warning, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.